Welcome to What in God's Name. He's Chris Owen.
And she is Shayna Appel. Good to see you, Shayna.
Great to see you. For our listeners, you have located the podcast that is taking a look at contemporary issues through the lenses of theology and philosophy. Now, why are we doing that? Well, to get beyond the binary of politics and economics, which we feel unnaturally, unnecessarily, and unrealistically constrains the public discourse. So you've tuned in for the next 22.5 minutes of some deep conversation about something that's going on in our world today.
And I have to let our listeners know, if you listened last week, I was coaxing Shayna to do some music for us. And before we started today's show, of course, Shayna was doing music for me.
Shayna is
learning.
Privately serenading.
Shayna is learning some Tracy Chapman, and she gave me a sneak preview. And Shayna,
oh my God, do we love Tracy Chapman? Like, I need more Tracy Chapman in my days. I just, you know, it's sometimes you come back upon a piece of music that you forgot about, and it reintroduces you to an artist. And that's kind of what happened over Memorial Day weekend. So I'm on the Tracy Chapman binge.
And when will you be sharing this with our audience?
Well, you know, Tracy's stuff, if you want to be able to play it and sing it, you have to know it in your bones. So it's going to take a little while, but we'll get there.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to today's show. As we've mentioned over the last couple of shows, Chris and I usually alternate between, you know, sort of who's got an idea or, you know, got an itch, got something on their mind that they want to bring up. And today it's Chris's itch that we're going to scratch.
Last week I teased that I wanted to have a show that examined the theology of Trumpism. And so that's where we're going.
Gird your loins, boys and girls.
If there's anything else humorous you'd like to say, Shayna, now would be the time, because we're about to launch into 22 minutes now of non-humor.
Okay, go for it.
The theology of Trumpism. What I'm not doing today, this is not a character analysis of the person. This is not an indictment of Trump supporters, much less an examination of their motives to support him. What I'm attempting to do is to take Trumpism as a thing, like an object, like a, I don't know, like a big marble. Just something you could hold in your hand, Trumpism in your hand, and turning it around, examining it from different angles. What does this thing look like? What is this thing?
Trumpism, the noun.
Attempting to distill the essence of this ideology using theology. And I'm going full Christian today, Shayna. I will be using the terms and concepts of Christian theology, but I would invite you and our listeners to do whatever translations are necessary. Because oftentimes when I use God and Jesus in this theological reflection, you could substitute transcendence of some kind, even non-theological transcendence, such as goodness, truth, beauty,
sure,
love.
Sure. We promise we'll wear our encoder rings. It's something we use, learn how to do if we attend Christian seminaries. So I'm quite adept at it. And if I can help our listeners out, hopefully they'll let us know.
Shayna, I've got three observations on this for us today. And actually, the first observation is not even theological. It's philosophy of politics. Political philosophy is observation number one. And this is actually important. Well, it's all important, but this is really important. Trumpism is not conservatism. Trumpism is not in the intellectual lineage of Edmund Burke. So those of you who like intellectual history and the history of ideas will know Edmund Burke. And a lot of modern American conservatism traces its intellectual lineage back to that 18th century Englishman, Edmund Burke. Trumpism is not conservatism in that sense. Trumpism might be in the intellectual lineage of Ayn Rand, you know, Atlas Shrugged and that stuff, which might be considered conservative by some people, although even William Buckley denied that Ayn Rand's philosophy was conservative. So all to say, Trumpism is not conservative.
Okay, with you so far.
In fact, in its attack on institutions like NATO and the State Department and the Justice Department and independent journalism, and in its attack on civility and norms, and on feeding the dark side of human nature that delights perversely in chaos and strife, Trumpism is revolutionary in the very worst sense of the word, as in destructive. Shana, this is important because in the way that Trumpism is covered, and in the public conversation and in casual conversation, people mistake conservatism and Trumpism. The way our political division is usually portrayed is as a competition or a divide between liberal and conservative. That's just not what's happening, because Trumpism is not a conservative political philosophy, but it's just lazy. It's just lazy to think that just because Trump is a Republican, therefore he's a conservative. That is not so.
Well, it's maybe mistaken for conservatism, but certainly he's taken the entire Republican Party along with him. So, you know, as the Republicans are seen as the bearers of the conservative flag, where they go, thus goes conservatism. But I think you're right to point out that it is not, in fact, classic conservatism.
Observation number two is a theological point, and it comes from my Christian grounding. So here's where I go full Christian. And this observation actually came out of an intuition or a feeling or a fantasy I had, which then I examined and found some things to pull out of it. The intuition or fantasy was that I wanted to put in my front yard a sign on big 4-foot by 8-foot plywood painted in big letters, "Jesus Christ is Lord. Defeat Trumpism." And so I asked myself, okay, what is the meaning that those two sentences are directly related to each other in my mind? What concept can I pull out of that? And what it suggests to me is that Trumpism is an ideology that puts something else in the place of God.
Huh.
Trumpism is something that makes ultimate something that is actually only or merely penultimate. Or to put it in other words, Trumpism makes something Lord that cannot properly be Lord, because the only proper Lord from the Christian point of view is Jesus Christ. Again, put on your decoder ring, translate Jesus Christ and Lord and God into the transcendent concept of your choice. This is the definition of idolatry, Shana, to make something God which is not God. Mm-hmm. So theologically, and here is the rounding home of observation number two, theologically, Trumpism is idolatrous. And specifically, Trumpism is emperor worship. Mm-hmm. We've seen this in history.
Mm-hmm.
When we say emperor worship, of course, we're talking about the Roman mm-hmm. Empire and the state religion that you worship the emperor.
Yes. Although I think his followers would deny that they worship him, but it certainly looks that way to those of us who are not on that inside ring. And you and I saw that pretty clearly at the Trump rally last summer.
Yeah, so this is not, again, I would just repeat, it's a good point that you make. And I'm not providing a phenomenology of the movement or the motivation of the followers. It's an examination of the thing in itself.
But can...
Yeah, can you separate the two? Is that your question?
Can you separate the two? Can you, you know, yeah, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. He is what he is by virtue of the fact that, people put him there. But okay, is that the end of point two?
Yes.
Okay, and point three
is... Observation number three. It follows on from point two. Observation number three is this. The godly city ruled by love, ruled by Christ as its head, which is a part of Christian theology, the imagination of this commonwealth where society, it comes under the authority of this great love.
The kingdom of heaven.
Indeed, that's yes. The one. In that vision, love is the ruling force. This is an ideal. It's the paradigm. It's the ideal. I guess that's the best way to say it. It's the ideal picture of how the world would work in its best self, ruled by love.
Yeah, seen against that backdrop, Trumpism is more than idolatry. It's almost antichrist.
In its denial of Christ as Lord and in its denial of love as the ruling force, mm-hmm. the unholy spirit that drives Trumpism is fear.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's not a strategic choice. It just follows from idolatry. Fear comes from taking the position that you can put your faith in something of this world. Or to put it obversely, fear comes from denying a greater power that conquers fear. So go for it. I'm ready for that was a lot from me, and I appreciate your bearing with
it. Yeah, no, it's fascinating. And I think, like, from the moment that you mentioned it, the place where I got my knickers, you know, got bound up was that theology, by its very definition, right, theos logos, is a conversation about God. And when theology was put next to anything having to do with Trump, I was like, no. And, you know, but then when we talked about it last week, you talked about the idolatry of it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that I can sort of wrap my head more around. And I mean, I would not challenge at all the notion that what's happening right now and what's being cultivated right now is as far from any image of the kingdom of heaven that I can conjure up in my little earthly mind. And basically the idea is none of us can comprehend the kingdom of heaven, but we reach for it anyway. That's, you know, where the faith comes in. So I was prepared to like be in this like major disagreement with you because I was like, no, you cannot put theology and Trump in the same sentence. But I guess, I mean, based on what you've laid out, I can't really disagree. I mean, to look at what's going on through a theological lens, that would be, you know, that would be it. And I think about, like, for example, and you and I have talked about this before, I think about those Christians who are bound to Donald Trump in the way that they should be bound to, you know, their Lord and Savior. And so then what happens is you see things like, you know, people stand back and say, how do you call yourself Christian and be a supporter of this man who embodies, who really is the embodiment of the Antichrist, you know, in every way, shape, and form, except one, right? He's anti-abortion. But the gospel has a lot to say about how we treat strangers and sojourners, how we treat the least of these, and how we cultivate that spirit of love. And that is so antithetical to what's going on that, yeah, it is idolatry. They've put the man before their faith on an issue that, again, the Bible is silent on.
So, Shana, as I was thinking about these things, the lens that I arrived at, which I didn't start at, but what I arrived at after thinking about this was Augustine's City of God. His vision was of the two cities, and the one held by love, and then the one city that as actually turns away from that vision. It actively rejects the transcendent power of love. Of course, Augustine's always using the Christian language of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, but that power to hold us as a commonwealth, rejecting that and turning away from that, and he uses these two wonderful Latin terms, cupiditas and caritas, to characterize these two cities. Caritas is agape, love. It's this unconditional care for the whole. The city of God that is obedient to the law of love is characterized by caritas, one for another. Mm-hmm. And then the city that actively is turning away from this transcendent power is characterized by cupiditas, which is acquisitiveness for the self. It's this self-regarding.
So
when accumulation.
When the city thus turns, then hasn't the city, by virtue of the fact that it has turned away, is that a theology? I mean, you know, if the word theology literally breaks down as translated as a conversation about God, and a city turns away and rejects that conversation entirely, does it cast itself out of that realm? And is it just the theologians who are trying to figure out how to draw the circle wider to, you know, bring them back in? I don't know.
It's a really good question. And my immediate response was to say, no, of course it doesn't throw out theological reflection, because the foundation of the conversation is starts with God, the rejection thereof, but still with God.
Well,
but your point, if I think this is what I feel like you're getting at, which is when a society moves so far away from theological consideration about how it is held or not held together, then there's no longer theology as part of the conversation. You might be claiming more than that, but that's what I'm hearing. And just so as you think about that, my response is it casts itself
from the theological realm. Yes.
Yeah. And so now, to me, that goes right to the point of our having this show, which is to say, you can't.
Yes.
You're
Nothing
really
screwed. Separates us from
you're
the love of God,
you,
right?
And you're really screwed if you don't ground the conversation at that level.
Ground the conversation in love. Ground the conversation in compassion. Yeah.
In theology.
We're seeing the nature of just how screwed you can be outside of that, you know, outside of that realm. And yeah, I mean, in terms of holding the whole thing within a theological conversation, yes, because we choose to do that. I guess I'm still jammed up on the theology of Trumpism because it feels to me like it's so antithetical. But I mean, I don't disagree with anything that you said at the opening that laid it out. So,
well, couldn't you have, just to take it out of Trumpism, couldn't you have a theology of emperor worship?
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't honor it. Maybe that's the thing, is I won't honor it by calling it Theos Logos. Since it is not about any God I know, it doesn't qualify. It has been heard, it has been observed, it has been experienced, it has been weighed and found wanting. So yeah, it's like I won't grant it that.
I hear you. Yeah. I just want to add a couple more things on this. The city of God is held together in love. Okay, and Augustine knows this. This is the ideal. This is the ideal. In sinful humanity, in the fallenness of human nature, in the limitations of human nature, the approximation of love in the world, as we live in it, is justice. We're not going to live perfectly in love. We need laws, we need restraints, and we need restraints.
Spiritual practice.
But to approximate love in the city is justice. I just love that. I just tossed that out. I just kind of love that. And let me add this.
It's a really big idea.
Yeah. It puts people in right relationship. I mean, that's the connection between politics and theology,
yeah,
or politics and religion.
Yeah.
We're asking the
justice.
Question, what is the right relationship? How shall we order our common life?
Mm-hmm.
Politics
mm-hmm.
and theology address that question. Augustine said this, and then I'll be quiet. He said, remove justice, and what are kingdoms but gangs of criminals on a large scale?
Oh, boom. Boom. Nailed it. Yeah, I mean, that is the world we're living in right now. Absolutely.
This is from a fourth century.
All right, you can rest your case. You can rest your case on that one.
Thank you for coming down that path with me. I don't know if there's anything else.
Well, wait, before you leave this topic of Trumpism.
Yeah.
I think what you've shared today is, you know, helpful again in getting us closer to insight with those who we just, you know, who just confound us, basically, who we cannot, we're confounded. We stand dumbfounded before Trumpism and we feel powerless to do anything about it. But we don't have to be powerless in front of it. On, you know, from a theological perspective, you know, we can continue to operate from that place of love, operate from that place of inclusion, operate from that place of justice, from a political place to identify it. It is us versus them. It is sowing of chaos. And we don't have to buy into that. That's my takeaway.
My takeaway is, to quote the Hebrew scriptures, Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Trumpism is, we've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
It shows itself at various times in various places. There's a piece of human nature that simply is revealed, that Trumpism and its cousins of political ideology through history hold sway. They hold sway. So therefore, the struggle to confront Trumpism is also nothing new under the sun. And it's really, you said it just now beautifully. I do think understanding what Trumpism is can help us have a response that's not just political, but also spiritual.
Yeah, you have to know where its weaknesses are. You have to know what it is if you're going to do something about it. When you were talking just now, Chris, I was reminded of the conversation you had with Mark Heim a number of weeks ago down at Andover Newton Theological School, and talking about how, you know, the justice curve ebbs and flows, right? That you know, we go through periods of time where it's sort of tit for tat, and then we go into more altruistic space. And it seems to me that we see that when we look over the long arc, we can see those waves coming and receding. And at the peak of the wave, invariably, a Donald Trump will rise, you know, will bubble up to the top as sort of the prime example of everything that is wrong with the culture in that particular moment. So we're there. Yeah, we're there.
Be curious, Shana.
Go deep.
And shine light. We're so glad that you could join us for this time. This show is brought to you by our generous sponsors on Patreon, as well as Filmmakers Collaborative, our fiscal sponsor. You can check us out on Facebook at What in Gods, and Shana on our website, whatingods.com, which would be
WHATINGODS.
See you next time.
Great to see you, Chris. I'll look forward to seeing you next week.